Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two scripture readings this morning. They're found in your bulletin. And the first one is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. I'll give you a second to find that. You know how sometimes we apply phrases to certain books of the Bible kind of help, or certain passages of the Bible helps us to remember them? Like if I said, the gospel in a nutshell.
John 3:16,
right? So this one I think we can apply no stinking thinking. So if you ever got some time, you're finding yourself doing some stinking thinking. Paul gives us this exhortation, I guess. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I guess if we focus our minds and our attention on all those things, we won't ever have time for stinking thinking. Okay, John, the next one is from John, Gospel of John, and chapter 6. And then the verses 66 through 69. I didn't want to say starting with John 666 because I couldn't say that. John 6, and then starting at verse 66. From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. This ends our reading.
If we could have the children come forward. Back here a little bit. How's everyone doing today? You know what we have here? What is this? Treasure chest. This is supposed to be a buried treasure. This is a treasure chest, okay? Kind of looks like a cooler, but it's a treasure chest. That's what that is. And in the Bible, Jesus told a story. He told a story about a man who was walking around, and he found buried treasure. And he found this treasure, and he was so excited that he put the treasure back in the ground. He went and sold everything he had, and he went and he worked hard and he made even more money, and then he went and bought this little piece of ground, just like this altar, where the treasure was buried. So finally, when he was done, this treasure was his. So what do you think might be in this treasure chest today? Money, gold, things like that. We'll show you in a minute. Not quite yet, guys. Well, are you okay? The first thing we're going to look at today, let's just do one at a time. The first thing in the treasure chest that we pull out, now you might not think this is treasure, but they're called values. And values are hidden treasure, and we're going to talk about values today. Now, the first place we learn about values is from God, because God has values. What a value is something that's really, really, really important to you or to God. And God had values, and he said, I value you so much that I'm going to give you rules. Most of the rules in your life come from your parents, come from your parents' values. So they put rules on you. Well, God's first rules were the Ten Commandments. And he said, I like you guys so much, I love you so much, that what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some rules to follow. Number one, you will have no other gods before me, no idols in your life, and don't ever use my name in vain. Because God knows that if you follow those rules, good things will come into your life, okay? So then he gave you more rules. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He knows we need to rest. And he wants us to spend time with him. So he added more rules. And then you know what the next rule was? honor your father and mother. So when your mom and dad give you rules, it's because they have values, and the values they had come from God. They're really good ideas or things that they want to work out in your life. Now, these rules are found in something, and I have something else in the treasure chest today. What's this? You know what's neat about this book? This Bible is almost 100 years old. Do you know that? Yes. This Bible was given to my grandma Heineschen, and I have her Bible. She's no longer here. She's with Jesus now, but this was her Bible. And in this Bible are God's laws and God's rules and the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God. So in our treasure chest, we have the Bible. We have the Word of God. You know, King David was king of Israel, and one night he couldn't sleep. And so he said to his people, bring me the Word of God. I want to read the Word of God. And he was reading the Word, and he understood something about these rules. These rules were good. They would bring good things in his life. And he started to write himself. He said, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, on this word, he meditates day and night. This man becomes like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield fruit in its season, and his leaves, they never wither. Everything he does prospers, but not so the wicked. The wicked are like the chaff driven by the wind. Therefore, and here's a big word, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, nor the sinner sit in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's what David wrote in his book, and that got put in here. It's a treasure. So David realized that the law was a good thing. It was going to bring good things in his life. If he did what the law said, good things would happen to him. You know, I have a cousin. His name is Keith. I think you may have heard of him because we pray for his wife. But when Keith was young, his mom and dad, everybody thought they were kind of strict with Keith. They had a lot of rules. They made him work. They made him do yard work. They made him clean up his room. They made him do homework. They made him get a job. And they had all these rules. They wouldn't let him hang out with certain friends. They wouldn't let him do certain things. They had all these rules. And Keith thought, I don't like all these rules. But you know what happened? My uncle told me this. Keith is now older. He has a job. He has his own little business. He has a wife. And he has kids. And he called his dad. And he said, Dad, I want to thank you. He said, I want to thank you for the rules because I turned out pretty good and there's a lot of really good things in my life. And his dad said, oh, come on. He said, no, really. He said, my friends, not all of them are doing so good. But the rules you and mom gave me, those values, they really did really well for me. So maybe one day you guys will end up calling your mom and dad on the phone and thanking them for their rules that they put in your life. But for now, what else is in our treasure chest? We have little pieces of gold for you. So come on up and you can get these goldfish. Yeah. You guys, go ahead. You can pretty much the same if we run out there, something else. But if you want the goldfish, they're in there. There you go. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. Get everybody? Good. I'll leave this up here. Values. We all have them to some degree or another. Some are good values and some are not so good values. But we are going to, as the Philippians verse said, we're going to focus on the ones that are good. Lord God, we come to you today and we just lift up a prayer to you, Lord. We ask that you anoint these words, that you anoint this time, Lord, that you anoint our hearts. Lord God, you have a work you want to accomplish in this church. And today, Lord, we ask you to begin that work and to continue it. We ask, Lord, for your presence, and we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us and all you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier today, in the bulletin is a little insert that if you want to follow along with it, what we're really going to be working on is only one side of these pages. It's the one called Vision Team Meeting Number 4, December 5th. You have the mission on top, and then the values as motives. Why are we doing it? We value Spirit-led. So that's, if you want to follow this and something to reference, that's what I'd like you to do. What I'm going to do when I do this, and please do not construe my spending more time on certain things than others as putting more importance on it. That's not, all these things are important. These are values that came out of this meeting that we want to talk to you about today. But because of a time constraint, I'm probably going to end up spending more time on some than others. What I want to offer to you, and I want you to consider this, I thought it was really great last week during prayer time when Pastor Harmon said, does anybody want to pray? And people, not being called on, just came up here and stepped into that. And although we won't ask you to do it today, these values, I want you to think about them if you would. And if anybody has a testimony, they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. We would love to hear your testimonies related to some of these values. Now, as I mentioned, everybody has values. All churches have values. The question that was presented to the Exano team was, why do people come to Lamb of God? What is it that makes you come back? Okay? There's a lot of churches out there. But why are you coming to this specific church? Why don't you go somewhere else? Why do you stay here? We're certainly not perfect. We all know that. But for some reason, we all keep hanging out here. Why is that? And what he was trying to get at are, what are the values? What is really important to Lamb of God to the point where these become deal breakers? These are things that are so important to us, there'll be no compromise on this. These are going to be the values of our congregation. It's going to be one of the sides of the frame, the vision frame that we're all working on, that's going to give us direction on where to go. These values will impact, shape, and mold everything we do in this congregation. There are more values in this, but these are the ones that surface as being common throughout the congregation. Now, they're listed in a certain order in that little sheet we handed out. Again, it by no means means that one value is more important than another. In fact, I'm not going to take them in order right now. I'm going to kind of jump around on you a little bit. I'm going to address each one, but I'm going to take them in a little different order. The first value I want to take, actually I want to take two at one time, is truth without compromise. And then a little bit later on in your sheet is a value, depth without limit. Why do you come to Lamb of God? The first thing that jumped out in this meeting is, it's the preaching. It's the Word of God. We've never heard the Word of God preached before. We've never had the Scriptures open to us before, as has happened here. And we talked about that, and we talked about what that meant. Truth without compromise. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. These are deal breakers. The Word of God is the absolute in this congregation. Some of the teachings in this Word are not going to be politically acceptable. We will not compromise ever, ever. We will hold true to the teachings of the Word of God beyond all things. The other part of it, depth without limit, we talk about the self-abandoned pursuit of God yields a childlike curiosity. I don't know what it was like for you, but one of the first times that I heard Pastor Harmon start preaching, my heart was on fire. It was on fire. And one of the scripture references, Luke 24, says they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and open the scriptures to us. I've had that experience here at Lamb of God listening to Bruce Harmon preach. My heart burned with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit burned my heart with these words of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again, and the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Our example here. One thing that happened to me, and it was a resounding thing we've heard from a lot of people, is there was a hunger associated with the Word of God. There's a hunger in the preaching that went on here. For a while, you just couldn't wait to come back to church. You wanted to hear the Word of God preached again. Now, in the course of wading through all this, a very interesting topic came up. They asked us, why is this? Well, it's Bruce Harmon. This was Jeff Grossman answering. It's Bruce Harmon. He said, no, it's not. I said, yeah, it is. He said, no, you're wrong. I said, no, I'm not. He said, there's more to it than this. I said, no, you never heard Bruce preach. He said, that's not the point. And we started really wrestling with this, not just in one session for me. I'm kind of slow to learn. It took a while for me to really get to where he's going. And the point is this. Pastor Harmon, as much as I love him, he's not going to be here forever. Right? I mean, he's no spring chicken. Neither are most of us. But eventually, one day, who knows? He might retire. He might get a call to another congregation. The Lord might take him home. Then what? Well, the value that we have is that the Word of God will never be compromised in this congregation, and we're not going back. There is an expectation of the teaching that is going to take place here at Lamb of God. And it really doesn't matter who's going to come in here. That expectation will not change. What we don't want is fluff. We want the sharp, double-edged sword of the Word of God cutting body, flesh, sinew, everything. We want to be cut deep by the Word of God. We want to be burned by the Holy Spirit through that Word. So, those first two values that we talk about, truth without compromise and depth without limit, those are values that we hold dear at Lamb of God. Another value that came forth, and we've talked about it a couple times already today through Bible study and now in the service, is prayer without confinement. Now, one thing I should mention, at the beginning of all these values are the words, we value Spirit-led. We almost pulled the we value Spirit-led out of there and put it in front of each value, because that is the key to everything we're doing here. We don't want to do anything in the power of our flesh, and it's very easy to do that. I can attest to how easy it is to try and do ministry in the power of the flesh. Not that it's easy to slip into that. Usually what happens when you do ministry in the power of your flesh is nothing. Nothing happens. But when it's Spirit-led, God moves and a lot happens. One of the values, one of the unique characteristics of this church, if you will, is prayer without confinement. The privilege of intercession is given to every Christian. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. 1 John 5:14 to 15, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked of him. Now, some of these values, we know they're true, but in my heart, in my life, they're aspirational. I'm not quite here where my prayer life needs to be. We prayed for Steve Buckmeyer this morning. He has chronic kidney stones. He gets them all the time. He is literally laying at home in bed with blood and other stuff oozing out of his back. They're changing his bandages, at they being Liz, okay, every 2 hours. This is what that family's dealing with right now. We pray for Steve, and we believe, Lord God, give us the faith. Help us where our faith is weak. Lord, heal Steve. Touch him. We want to wrestle in prayer with those in this congregation. Everything we do here has to be bathed in prayer. We have found firsthand, we have experienced what happens when we have people praying in this congregation. It is a priority. And the other thing that surfaced out of it is I can't come back to you and say, sorry, guys, I don't have the gift of intercession. It's not my ministry. I'm not led. No, 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 no. The privilege, it is a privilege, a prayer of intercession is for every Christian, everyone in this congregation. Does that mean that you're going to be part of the formalized prayer teams, that you're going to be burdened by the Holy Spirit for intercession for other people? Maybe, maybe not. But prayer is an integral part of your life. It has to be. It's an expectation at this congregation that prayer is an integral part of your life. I once heard somebody say, they asked, do I have a special prayer time? He says, no. I get up, I start working, I start doing things. He said, but I don't think there's 10 minutes that goes through the day where I don't pray. I'm praying all the time. It says in 1 Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing. He prays all day long. He prays every 10 minutes. He's constantly having a conversation with God. Part of the way we're going to grow here individually and as a church is if we are walking in that unique conversation with God every day of our life. A priority, a value in our congregation is prayer. The next value I want to talk about is the very last one on your sheet, involvement without reservation. The joyful participation of every member multiplies ownership. What does that mean? It means the Nehemiah wall. Everyone has a call. Everyone has a place on the wall. We are all called into ministry. Those who come and attend at Lamb of God, we are expecting all of us to be involved in ministry. Now, that may or may not take place in this confinement of Lamb of God. It may be associated with the, quote, Lamb of God ministries. Maybe it's not. Maybe God's has your place on the wall is back at college, leading a Bible study or doing whatever God has called you into. Maybe it's at your place of work, in your sphere of influence. But understand, there's a call on your life to minister. We spent the whole morning talking about friendship evangelism. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about sharing lives with other people. This is everybody's responsibility. Everybody in this congregation has a call of ministry from God. Okay? That is a value of this congregation. That is going to shape everything we do in this congregation. The last one, grace without boundaries. The love of God reaches the unreachable. Think about that once. The love of God reaches the unreachable? I never knew there were any unreachable. Maybe that's a bad word. Maybe we need to change unreachable to unlovable. The love of God reaches the unlovable. Unlovable? Are there really people who are unlovable? Well, maybe only in the deep, deep, dark places of Jeff Grossman's heart, maybe there's the unreachable and the unlovable. I've been blessed. My mom and dad were Christians. They raised me as a Lutheran. They raised me. I went to a Lutheran grade school, a Lutheran high school. They made me go to church every Sunday when I was young. They made me participate and be trained up in the nurture of the admonition of the Lord, okay? An amazing thing happened in the family of Robert and Dolores Grossman. They have, I believe it's 15 grandkids, more than that, 16? Sorry. They have 16 grandkids. We got 20 great-grandkids. Of their children, 5 children, 16 grandkids, 20 great grandkids, 21's on the way, okay? Jake and Shai, by the way, my son Jake, they're expecting, so we're excited about that. But you want to know what's amazing? Every person in my family knows Jesus Christ and confesses him as Lord and Savior. Every person in my family. Now, that's unique. We've heard a lot of feedback. One of the family struggles we have in the congregation is that our immediate families, sometimes children, sometimes extended family, don't always know the Lord. I'm just blessed by God that all my brothers and sisters and all their kids and all their spouses They know the Lord. That's unique. And that is a testimony to the work God has done in the lives of Robert and Dolores Grossman. However, Dolores Grossman was the youngest of four daughters, Luther and Lillian Heinichen. Little different story if you want to go back a generation. Okay? My mom was the youngest of four. The oldest two are gone. Her older sister is now 90-something. And then there's my mom at age 84. And all of them had offspring. I have extended family down in the Chicago area. We used to see each other a lot more when we were younger, when everybody was around. We don't see each other that much anymore. It pretty well got regulated down to Christmas time. We get together, we have a family Christmas party. And an interesting thing happened. It became evident through the years. The values of Robert and Dolores Grossman and the way they raised their children were not necessarily shared with the older siblings of my mother. I'm not saying they don't love the Lord and they don't know the Lord, but it didn't have the same priority in their life. And although you may not have been able to see it as much in their lives, an interesting thing happened. As my parents got older, they grew much closer to the Lord. That wasn't the case for the older sisters. It's not that they don't know the Lord, but there's not this growing closer to the Lord, and it really became evidence in the offspring, in their children. My cousins, my second cousins, okay? There's not this love of God throughout the rest of my extended family. In fact, it's to the point where the Wisconsin contingent, which we're noted for because we're the only ones that live in Wisconsin, we've been kind of labeled. We're the fanatical religious right. We are the holier than thous. We are the ones who think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And you know what? We have to check ourselves. Maybe we do. Maybe we're not giving a good witness and a good testimony. Maybe that's deserved. Maybe it's not. But the point is, there's a tension in our family, okay? These children were not raised as Bob and Dolores' children were raised. And you can tell now. So every year we have a Christmas party. And over the years, it ends up at my cousin Gail's house. And over the years, as it turns out, for some strange reason, I'm the one that Gail always asks to say the family prayer. And if they didn't ask me, I'm sure we wouldn't have one. It's not like we talk about the things of God at these family parties. The only time it comes up is when they ask me to say a prayer. So over the years, I've been saying a prayer. It's no big deal. I say a prayer. I stand in the kitchen behind the aisle, and I say a prayer. And we have a prayer, and then we eat. And that's about the extent of it. Well, this year, in September, I'm sitting in my office doing work, and I happen to look up at the shelf, the bookshelf, and I see stuck up on the shelf this Bible. And I kind of just glanced at it from my desk, and the Holy Spirit moved on my heart. This year at the family party, I'm to do more than pray. And I thought, what? And that was about the extent of it. Just a movement of God on my heart. This year, family party, you're going to do more than pray. I don't really know what that means. So I didn't think much about it. I said, okay. And a little time went on. And now we're into October. And we're getting a little closer to December. And one of my sisters calls me up and says, did you hear Amy's getting married? Amy, yeah, you know, Amy Borchwald, John and Nancy's Amy, I don't know if she's a first cousin or second cousin. I don't see Amy that much, okay? I just don't see Amy. So I go, oh, well, that's kind of cool because I think she's like in her 40s or something, and Amy's getting married. Awesome. Amy's marrying a woman. Oh, really? Yeah, Amy's marrying a woman. Oh, okay. Well, what are we going to do if we get invited to the shower? There's a shower? Yeah, Aunt Esther is throwing her a wedding shower. Oh, really? Huh. Well, I don't have to worry about it because I don't care who's getting married. I'm not going to a wedding shower. That's not what I do, but my sisters and maybe my wife, they might have to worry about a wedding shower. What do you do? What would you do? Would you go? Would you not go? Would you say something? Would you not say something? What would you do? I said, huh. And a little time went on, and we're getting closer to the family party. And I keep looking at this Bible on the shelf, and the Lord keeps saying, I want you to do more at the family party than say a prayer. I'm going, yeah, right, Lord. What? And we're getting a little bit further on, and things are coming along. And as it turned out, not only was none of the Wisconsin contingency invited to the wedding shower, we were never told about it. Okay? My aunt, my mom's sister, decided not even to bring it up to my mom. They weren't going to have the conversation. Now, part of us said, whew, we dodged that one. We don't have to deal with it. Okay? Cool. You know? It was kind of kind of them not to put this on us. They're just going to ignore us. Okay? Okay. Wow, I wonder why they're ignoring us, though. So we're getting a little bit closer, and we're getting closer, and all of a sudden we're into November, and I'm in the middle of hunting. If any of you know, I love to hunt. And all of a sudden we're getting closer into November, and they set a day for the family Christmas party, the Heinichen family Christmas party. It's going to be at my cousin Gail's, and it's a week before the weekend, Saturday before Christmas. Okay? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to go to the family party this year. I don't have to go to the family party. Why do I have to go? I would rather go late bow hunting. You know, there's good tracking snow. Nobody really would care. Maybe I won't go. And so I'm honestly thinking about not going to the family party, and all I can see is Dave DeBron standing up here telling us about the 3-second rule and the promptings of God and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going, thanks, Dave. You know, and so I'm struggling with this. Do I even want to go to the family party? And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And finally I go, okay, Lord, you want me to go to this party? I'll go to the party. But I'm not going to offer to pray. Somebody's got to ask me to pray in the first place. And if they ask me to pray, then I'll do whatever you want me to do. Although, Lord, I really don't know exactly what it is you want me to do, but I'll do it. And this book is sitting up there on the shelf. And I pulled it off. It's not that I've never looked at this before. I have. I opened up to the first page. And I want to read to you the inscription on this. Presented to my daughter, Lillian Heinichen, by your father, Henry J. Coomer. The date, February 2nd, 1918. Married in their home in Chicago, Illinois. It was the day of her wedding. And her father, my great-grandfather, who I know nothing about, Henry J. Coomer, gave my grandmother, Lillian Heinichen, a Bible on her wedding day. So I looked at this. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to do here? So the day of the family party came, and we go down to Chicago. We're all at Gail's. We're all hanging out. We're all having a conversation. And the other thing that I failed to tell you is, as it turned out, the wedding, Amy's wedding, was the Friday night before the Saturday family Christmas party. So that Friday night, everybody at this party was at the wedding, and Saturday, we're all at the family Christmas party. Okay? So we're there, and nobody's talking about this at all. We're just making small talk, as you normally do when you don't know people real well. And we're going through it, and nobody's asking me to say a prayer. I'm going, okay, maybe I don't have to do this. The food's starting to get put out. Nobody has said a word to me about saying a prayer. So I'm standing at the bar talking to my cousin. And behind me, my other cousin, Gail, comes up and says, hey, cuz, I forgot to ask, will you say the prayer? Okay. I said, I'll be right back. I said, yeah, I'll say the prayer, I'll be right back. And I turned around, I walked out of the front door of her house. And she's like, what? Where's he going? Well, I went out to the car, and I got this Bible, and I came back in, and I took my place behind the counter where all the food was being served, and they're trying to quiet the family down so I can say the prayer. And then the Holy Spirit moved on my heart. You're not doing it from behind the island in the counter. Go over there and stand by the mantle by the fireplace. I'm going, really, God? Seriously? You got to understand, my heart's in my throat right now. You guys are easy. Talking to you is nothing, okay? This was tough. So I grabbed this Bible and I walked out from the kitchen. I walked over by the fireplace. I stood in front of the mantel. There was a good distance. Nobody was near me. I could see the people in the kitchen. I can see the people in the side room now, including my aunt. And I said, "Gail, if it's okay, I'd like to do something a little bit different than just a prayer today." And she's like, "Okay, you know, what's this?" And I go, "I want to read a Christmas story to you guys." And it got kind of quiet. I said, "I want to read it right from the Bible, but this is a special Bible." And I held this up, and I said, "This is Grandma Heinichen's Bible." And I read the inscription on here from Grandpa Coomer on the day of her wedding, and I said, "I just found it very telling that of everything that our Grandpa Coomer could have given to our grandma on the day of her wedding, it was a Bible. Out of everything in life, the most important gift he could give his daughter on that day is a Bible. It's a testimony that stands speaking loud 100 years later, and it's in my hand right here." I said, "So I want to read to you a Christmas story from this Bible." And I'm well aware of the fact that I'm part of the Wisconsin contingent. I'm the religious right. I'm the radical guy who goes too far with religion. I'm well aware of this, okay? I said, "I want to read to you a Christmas story from the Bible. It's Old King James, so bear with me here." So I opened up to the book of John, chapter 4. And I proceeded to read the story of the woman at the well. And I got done, and I could feel every eye in that room had me pinned up against that fireplace mantle. It was my heart. I was shaking so bad I could barely read these words, okay? I did not calm down at all. And I looked at everybody. I said, "This may not sound like much of a Christmas story to you, but it's my Christmas story because I am the woman at the well." And I explained to them that all my life I've been a Christian. I was born and raised that way. My parents dragged me to church every single Sunday. They made me go to a Lutheran school where I had religion classes 5 days a week. Then they sent me to Lutheran High School where I had religion classes at least 4 days a week and chapel 3 days a week. And then at the end of high school, this good Lutheran Christian boy didn't darken the door of a church for 4 years except for Christmas and Easter when I had to go with my parents. That was me. And I explained to them that at the age of 28, I was the one standing at the well, and Christmas is about the coming of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ came and met me at the well, and he said, "Jeff, I got something for you you don't know anything about." I said, "Really, Lord?" And this is true, by the way. I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, I got water for you that you don't know anything about. I got living water for you that you don't know anything about." And I said, "I really doubt that, Lord. I doubt that you have anything for me that I don't know anything about. I've had all the religious instruction and the Christian upbringing. There's nothing more I can learn about this that I don't already know." And God said, "No, there's water you don't know anything about. I have living water for you you don't know anything about." And I explained to my family how at that moment at the age of 28, I began a journey seeking after God in a way I never had before, and how my one sister was instrumental and she had led me to the book of Acts, and I shared that, and I said, "Look, our family has a religious history. They knew the Lord to whatever extent they did or didn't. And I met the Lord when I was 28. I just want you to know that there's more here than maybe you know. And I just want to share that with you." And that was about the extent of my word or whatever it was I was supposed to share. I don't know how it was all received. Some of my cousins came up with tears in their eyes and they gave me hugs and, "Oh, that was so beautiful." I wasn't going for beautiful, but thank you. There's a lot of awkwardness between people. I had one cousin came up to me and demanded to know why I got Grandma Heinichen's Bible in the first place. "Well, when Grandma died, your mom gave it to my mom. I'm sorry, but, you know, that's the way it happened." So, you know, all these weird things come forth. And you know what? Here's what the Lord told me about all this. I think the problem is Amy's marrying a woman. The problem is Amy doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will descend to the eternal depths of everlasting hell for all of eternity. That is what is at stake. That is how critical it is. Amy could have chosen not to marry a woman. Her eternal resting place may not have changed, okay? It wasn't marrying a woman that sent her to hell. It's not having Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, that sent her to hell. Now, obviously, in that story, the woman of the well, Jesus got around to the stuff in her life. But do they know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? I know for a fact, after years of trying to do ministry, there's absolutely nothing I can say to convince anybody of anything. I know that. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's all God. But what I am called to do is be obedient to whatever He's called me to do and let God do the rest. The biggest blessing that came to me out of that day was after everything was over, John Borschwall, Amy's father, came up to me. He smiled. He said, "I got to read that book of Acts again." And I thought, well, that's good. You might want to read Luke. It kind of goes along with it, you know. And I don't know if he did or didn't, but that's the value that we have. Who's unreachable? Who's unlovable? Where's your Nineveh? Where's my Nineveh? Jonah was called to preach to the Ninevites. He didn't want to do it. He said, "Lord, I hate the Ninevites. I hate those people. I don't want to preach to them. I got a better idea. Wipe them off the face of the earth. Let them go to hell. I don't care." The Lord said, "I love the Ninevites. I want you to go preach to them." Where's my Nineveh? Lord God, who's my Nineveh? Is it a woman marrying a woman? This society, we have become to accept so much. Maybe that's not so much a struggle for you anymore as it once was. Maybe the Nineveh, maybe the person who doesn't deserve the love of God is the child molester. Maybe they don't deserve God's love. Maybe it's the woman who had an affair and cheated on her husband. Maybe she doesn't deserve the love of God. How far do I have to go to reach my Ninevites? Where are they, Lord? Do the unlovable and the unreachable exist? Yeah, they do in the deep crevices in the heart of Jeff Grossman that has not yielded to the Holy Spirit, that has not been touched by the Holy Spirit, that I keep God out of. That's where these Ninevites exist, and only there. But the value of Lamb of God is that there is no one for whom the love of God cannot reach and is not for. Everyone, God's desire is everyone be saved. Everyone be saved. These are the values that have been raised before you today for Lamb of God. And I ask you to pray over them. I ask you to meditate on them. We would love for you to come forward. Come to Carrie. Say, "Hey, I got a testimony pertaining to one of these values, how God worked in my life." Let Carrie know. Let Bruce know. Let somebody on the vision team know. Anybody, an elder. We would love to spend time and make time for you to give a testimony to how God has moved in your life in this area, confirmation. And then we can move forward in the power of the Spirit. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for your word. You're pure, you're holy, your perfect word. Lord God, you are the word of God. Jesus, you are the word. You are the word. Lord, my heart is so dark. I need you to come into my heart and invade those areas where I do not let you, Lord, that I keep you locked out. These are values, Lord, that you have established here at Lamb of God. Lord, for me, some of those are only aspirational. Move in my heart, Lord God. Change me. Change my heart, O God. I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.